Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless. 24.
You've got to say amen. I'm going to ask y'all to say something one more time. I'm going to ask you to voluntarily say something one more time because I'm telling you to. But during the sermon, you can say something because you want to, all right? So we'll try it. Luke chapter number 24, I'm going to read the first 12 verses. Here's what it says. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be risen again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because the words seemed to be like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Will you do me a favor before you take your seat? I want you to just take part in this real quick, and so I want you to put a smile on your face. This is how I introduce my sermons here at Uplift Church. For those here for the first time, put a smile on your face. I mean, you may be looking right at your future in just a second, so put a smile on your face. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. Glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is, I can't stay here. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Neighbor, hey, how you doing? Glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is, I can't stay here. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Will you take a moment to pray with me? Father, once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease mightily and that these your people would see less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I wait for thee. Pray, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me. Spirit divine. God, prepare our minds, our hearts, and our spirits to receive your word. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I can't stay here. Have you ever had a point in your life where you thought or even said the words, "I can't stay here"? Have you ever gotten to a point in your life where you come to the conclusion that something is going to change? I'm tired of where I am. I'm tired of what I'm going through, and I can't stay here. I mean, you go to work like you've been going every day, and then a light bulb goes off, and you say, "You know what? I didn't like these people anyway. I don't know why I stayed here so long. I can't stay here? Have you found yourself in a relationship that has lasted way too long? And one day you show up and say, you know what? I thought you were cute at first, but now that I really know you, I can't do this no more. Anybody have ever had that kind of experience in your life where you said, you know what? I can go somewhere, but it can't be here. I cannot stay here. There's a scene that I love in a movie called Color Purple. Some of y'all may have seen Color Purple. There's one scene toward the end where Miss Seeley, she's sitting at this kitchen table with a lot of people around the table, and Mr. had been so mean to Miss Seeley for so long. Mr. had just been rude to her. He had been abusive to her for years. And Seeley, she sat at that kitchen table. She looked at him and she said, Mister, I'm leaving with Shug. He looked at her and told her, you ain't going nowhere. At that point in time, Celia had had all she could take. Celia had made up her mind, I can't stay here. She jumped up and she grabbed that butcher knife. She came across that table and said, you bleep, I ain't never asked you for nothing. She had made up her mind that she can't stay here. The truth is, my brothers and my sisters, if we live long enough, all of us have moments where we've said, I can't stay here. But the challenge is, some of us here at Uplift this morning, you said that before. You said it months ago. You said it years ago. Somebody, it's been 10 years since you knew you shouldn't stay where you are and living how you live. But the problem is you just never moved forward. Have you ever found yourself where you knew you're in a position where you should not be, but you don't have the courage to actually move forward? You said, I can't stay here. But then days go by, weeks and months, and then years go by. Our text this morning helps us break free from where we are and move to where God would have for us to be. I'm going to give you a bit of the background. It's an Easter story that anybody who's been to church any length of time, or even if you've watched TV, you've seen it before. And so I'm going to share with you a little bit about the story. Then we're going to have a little bit of an amen. Then we're going to have the kids go do some Easter egg hunt. Check this out. So here we are in the text. There's women that go to a tomb, and they're looking for Jesus at the tomb. The reason they're looking for Jesus at the tomb is because they had just crucified him on Friday. They remember putting him in the tomb, and so they had not finished their burial process, and they went ahead on and said, we're going to finish doing what we're supposed to do today. But when they got there, he was not there. The question has to be asked and answered. How did he end up being crucified? Let me help you understand that. In the beginning of Genesis, God took dirt and he formed it into form of humanity. Bible says he breathed into his nostrils and man and woman became a living being. Problem was that man sinned. Now, that's something called the original sin, and people debate about that. I don't debate about original sin. I'm going to tell you why I don't debate about original sin. It's not even deep theology. It's simple life. I have children, and I've never taught them to be bad. I've never taught them, little jokers, to lie or to be jealous. It came from somewhere, and so I made up my mind. It's got to be original sin, because children let us know as soon as they can talk. They say, mine! Or you would look at your child and look at how angry they got, and you wonder, what in the world? And then you look at your husband or your wife, like, that's your side of the family. That ain't got nothing to do with me. All the good is mine. But so, brothers and sisters, God saw the situation of humanity. God saw the sin of humanity. And God made up in his mind to send Jesus Christ as the solution for our problem. He had a mission, and that mission was to wrap himself in flesh and to come to earth to save us. That's Bible. That's what his mission was. Bible says that Jesus Christ went about, he did good things. He healed people. We opened blinded eyes. He was loving and kind to people except for the status quo folk. He upset them because they was comfortable with the way things are. And so the status quo people who were comfortable with the way things are began to hate on Jesus. They made up in their minds that they were not just going to stop him, but rather they were going to kill him. So on Friday, they found him and they turned him over to some Roman soldiers and they played with him like sport. The Bible says that they beat Jesus with what's called a cat of nine tails, which would be glass and metal on a leather strap, and they would hit him and pull off flesh. It was a gruesome beating. They did all of that before ever taking him to the cross. They made fun of him. Then they took thorns and they made it into a crown, and they didn't just put it on his head, but rather they beat it onto his head till blood came streaming down. What did he do to deserve that? How bad could he have been to deserve this kind of treatment? My brothers and my sisters, he went through all of that not because of what he did, but because of what you and I still do. Because of your and my sins, his purpose for coming to earth was to endure that justice to save us. Bible says that they nailed him to a cross, and on that cross on Friday, he hung his head and he died. They put him in a tomb and they rolled a stone in front of the tomb that nobody else could really move. The Roman soldiers rolled it there. They had guards positioned there so nobody could come take Jesus. That's how he got into that situation. The question has to be asked, brothers and sisters, in your life, how do you get into situations where you say, I can't stay here? How do you find yourself living where you know you should not live and living how you know you should not live? How do you find yourself in situations where the devil can take advantage of you? Situations where it seems as though you lose all hope. There's a story many of us have heard about putting a frog in nice warm water. Frog will sit in the nice warm water. Frog won't do anything. Frog won't jump out at all. But as you slowly heat the water up, the frog will stay there and feel the temperature changing. And the frog will allow you to boil it to death because it won't move. Because it's gotten comfortable in a place where it should not be. I wonder how many today are comfortable in a place where you know you should not be. Comfortable in a lifestyle that you know you should not be living in. Comfortable being broke. Comfortable being poor. By that I mean comfortable because you've just gotten used to it. It's your normal. My brothers and my sisters, the devil has a way of trapping us, binding us, and then making us feel comfortable in the situation. But Jesus came to provide us an example of how to get out of here. And so I'm going to give us a quick illustration and then I'm out of your way. I told you I wanted to be long today. This is my illustration. So let's try this. Now, my wife, she got scared when I told her what my illustration was. She got scared when I told her what my illustration was. She made me practice it last night at home. And then after I practiced it, she didn't feel any more comfortable at all. She was still scared when I told her what my illustration was. So let's slide this on out. Y'all see this box? Yeah. This box, we used this when I moved to a house, and we still had it there in storage. And so this box is good for holding clothes. I've got a lot of books. This ain't even good for holding books because it just rips apart. Holding clothes, sheets, towels, nice household things. Box is good for that. My brothers and my sisters, sometimes we go through life and we have experiences that seem to limit us. You have times when you tried something and you failed. Seem to limit you. You tried a relationship, but it just didn't work. So I tried to get the job. I tried to get back on my feet. And so the devil will use your life experiences and you'll find yourself stepping into a box. You find yourself in a place where you really shouldn't be. It wasn't even meant for you. It wasn't even made for you. God had something else destined for you. But because of what you've experienced in life, you found yourself in a box. And it's fine because, you know, I can see something. I mean, I can't move too much, but I'm all right like this. I'm all right like this. And then days go by. People will tell you, you know, you're never getting out of that. Never going to get back on your feet. After you lost the house, after you lost the job, after the doctor said they couldn't cure you, and you find yourself steadily going down in a box. How is it that I got here? I remember when I was younger, I wanted so much more for my life. I remember I thought I would be more than this. I see other people trying and they're succeeding. I thought I would. The devil would tell you this is it for you. And you began to close up in the box. And for some of us, you know you shouldn't be there. You know you shouldn't stay there. But then you begin to convince yourself that it's all right here, because while I'm here, I can't be hurt anymore. While I'm here, nobody can talk bad about me. While I'm here, nobody can take advantage of me. So at least it's my little box. At least I'm comfortable here. My brothers and my sisters, in the Bible, Jesus had experienced life and he nailed it to a cross. And many people would have thought that after they took him off the cross and they put him in a tomb, that was it for him. Many people would have thought that he was boxed in, he was limited, his hope and his dream would be bound in the tomb. Satan said, death, do you have him? Death said, yeah, I've got him. Satan said, don't let him go. Keep him there in that tomb. Death said, oh, you must not know my resume. I've never lost anybody. My record is perfect. I started with Abel. Once I got him in my grips, I didn't let him go. I had Adam. I've had Eve. They're still here with me. I've had Moses. I had Daniel. I've got Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I've got Isaiah. I've got Ruth. I've got Naomi. I've got Mordecai. I've got everybody that has ever lived. I've never lost anybody. Satan said, make sure you don't let that one go. Because if you let Jesus go, he will change the world. If you let Jesus go, he will shake up everything so that other people that I've got boxed in, that I've got limited, that I've got given up on their hopes and their dreams and their desires and their ambitions, they will begin to think that they can try again, they can go after it again. And so make sure you don't let him go. He held him there on Friday. He held him there Friday evening and Saturday morning he held him. Saturday evening, he held him. Oh, but where I'm from in Louisiana, they said early Sunday morning, something began to happen. Early Sunday morning, death had a battle on his hand. Early Sunday morning, the one that he tried to hold, the one he tried to keep bound, began to break free out of what was binding it. And the joy is just my brother. When Jesus broke free, he gives you the reason to break free. That simply means what held him can no longer hold you. What bound him can no longer bind you. And so Satan cannot keep you limited or boxed in, because Jesus that Sunday morning said, I cannot stay here. God has sent me for a reason and for a season, so that when they showed up on Easter Sunday morning to Uplift Church, somebody that had gave up on their dreams, somebody that had gave up on their ambitions and their hopes, somebody that had been boxed in for so long, can finally find reason to break free, can finally make up in their mind that I cannot stay here.
so much for you. God has so much that he wants to bless you with. The devil, he wants to keep you boxed in. As a matter of fact, he wants you to get comfortable boxed in. Matter of fact, he wants you to adjust your life just to be boxed in. The good thing about this box is once you burst out of it, I don't care what he does to try to put you back in, that box has been burst open.
Amen.
It's not good to hold me anymore. I can look at it, but I can now discard it. Why? Because I can no longer be limited by what Jesus has set me free from. My brother, my sister, somebody, you come in here and you've been bound by frustration. You've been bound by anger. You've been bound by depression. You've been bound by debt. You've been bound by your fear. But the good news about Easter Sunday morning is this. When Jesus got up, he gave you the ability to get up and to say to the devil, I can't stay here. I wish I had some people that would like to see the devil and begin to say, we thought you had me. We thought you knew me. Now I know that Jesus, I made up in my mind, I'm going to change some things in my life. I made up in my mind from this day forward, some things will be different for me because Jesus has set me free.
Yeah, baby.
I want you to know, my brothers and my sisters, and Easter is an example for us that we don't have to stay in. Easter is an example for us that the hopes, the dreams, the goals, the ambitions that God gave you don't have to die because Satan said you can't make it. They don't have to die because other people have rolled stones in front of you. They don't even have to die because of your past failures, your past mistakes. What God has purposed for you is for you. You've got to make up in your mind, I can't stay here. Will you pray with me? Father, once again today, I come before you saying thank you. Thank you for Easter Sunday morning. Thank you that Jesus Christ came out of the grave saying, I can't stay here. Thank you that the grave did not limit him, that death could not hold him, that death could not keep him. And because of that, I know that it has no hold over my life. Lord God, for somebody on the sound of my voice, they need to hear that today. Somebody came in, they know they have been bound. They know that they've been boxed in. And for days, for weeks, months, years, they said, I can't stay here. The devil has convinced somebody to believe that they can't get out of what they are in. Lord God, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would touch somebody's mind, touch somebody's heart, touch somebody's spirit. So they begin to say to themselves that greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. And they begin to say to themselves that I know God has a purpose for my life and I cannot stay limited where I am. I can stay. Lord, have your way today in somebody's life.
Yes, God.
That they will find freedom. They will find hope. They will find joy. This is our friend in Jesus' name. Amen. There he is. There's a story. There's a story of a man. His name is Pablo. In New Mexico, he and his 17-year-old son, they got into an argument. 17-year-old son, his name was Hector in New Mexico. Got into an argument, and so Hector, he did what I tried one day. Hector got mad. Hector said, I'm leaving. 17, he packed his one little bag, and Hector left. I tried that, and it lasted about 30 minutes. I realized I ain't got nothing to eat, and I can't go back home, so it didn't really work for me. Hector, he left. Hector was gone for a day. Hector was gone for a week, and his dad talked. By now, I thought he'd be back. By now, I thought he would have returned. His dad really thought his son would just come back.
4 months passed. No heifer. His dad was burning with grief. I want my son back. I want my son back. So what his dad did was, his dad said, what I'll do is I'll take out an ad in the local newspaper. His dad put an ad in the newspaper. The ad said this: Hector, I want you to know that I forgive you. Hector, I want you to know that I miss you. Hector, I want you to come back home. Meet me Saturday at 9 a.m. at Central Park, because I want to tell you that I forgive you. So the ad said. Saturday morning came. Pablo went to the park. Pablo stood by the gate. Pablo began to see all these men showing up. 172 men named Hector showed up because they were all looking for forgiveness from their father. They all was hoping it was their father saying, son, I forgive you. My brother, my sister, maybe you're just like Hector here today. You know you've messed up. You know you've got some mistakes in your life. You know you've fallen short. You know you've got some issues. But God is just like Pablo saying, my son, my daughter, I want you to know that I forgive you. That I want to restore the relationship with you. That I want to be able to communicate with you. All you've got to be willing to do is simply accept that forgiveness. As we stand all over the sanctuary, my brothers and my sisters, here at Uplift Church, we make accepting that forgiveness very easy for you. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to come shake my hand. It's a relationship between you and God. We invite you to pray a collective prayer with us, and here's why we do that. We pray a collective prayer because we want you to know that you're not in this by yourself. That God has purposed you to be in community with other believers. Here's what that means. When you've got good days in your life, we're there to smile, to rejoice, and to be happy with you. But when dark clouds come, and when there are sad moments in your life, and you don't know if you're going to make it, and you're ready to give up and to throw in the towel, we're a community that's able to come and say, no, we're not going to let you fall here. We're not going to let you stay locked in here. We're going to help you back up. So we pray a collective prayer to let you know that you're not in this by yourself. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've fallen short, but I accept that I can't stay here. I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day to save me, and because of that, I am saved. I am saved in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise, because somebody may have made the decision to accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. This is an Easter that you will never forget. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Listen, if you pray that prayer for the first time, or maybe you decide to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. You're tired of being boxed in and being limited, and for the devil keeping you bound. Maybe you rededicate your life to Christ. Inside the worship guide you receive, you should find a connection card. We invite you to simply check on that connection card that I've committed my life to Jesus Christ, or I recommitted my life to Jesus Christ. We invite you to turn that in to the guest services table, and we're going to communicate with you, help you to learn how to take the next steps in your journey with God. Amen. Amen and amen. At this time, brothers and sisters, I'm going to invite us to prepare our minds and our hearts to go before God in prayer. So if you're here and you're simply standing in need of prayer, we have what's called an altar call prayer, where we invite you to come here at the altar to hold hands with a brother or with a sister, and we're going to go before God on your behalf. Maybe you know there's some things that the devil has been trying to hold you in. Maybe you know that you need to be making some decisions in your life where you say, I cannot stay here. That's you, my brother, my sister. We